Good morning, everyone. Good to have visitors in our midst. We are very thankful for that. Good to see our members. I know we have some who are on vacation and traveling, and pray that they will be safely returned to us very soon. We began a couple of weeks ago, study of Philippians 4:8. Meditate upon these things, whatever is true, whatever is noble. It's what we are discussing this morning, noble. And in fact, as we've taken a look at this idea of biblical meditation, one of the things that I want to keep reminding us about is this idea of meditation, this think on these things. This is not a cursory idea of, well, just in passing, you know, just be mindful of these things. Just occasionally let your mind go to these things. No, rather it is about take inventory of the things that you have and the list that is before us, these characteristics. And by the way, you can go back and find that these are the very characteristics of God Himself. We are to be a godly people. We are to be Christ-like. And therefore, these character traits that we're studying here in Philippians 4 and verse 8 are to be part of our life. And so we take inventory, we look, we meditate upon those things that are virtuous and praiseworthy. And then those six things that are listed there in verse 8 of Philippians 4. And in so doing, as we do that, we take note. What is it that's missing in my life? What is it that I need to work on in my life? What is it that needs to change so that I can be like this? Well, I'm going to have to meditate. I'm going to have to think on these things. And in so doing, you notice verse 9, that's we've tied that together in this whole context, verses 1 through 9, that in verse 9, Paul says, the things that you've seen in me, do those things. The things that you have been taught by me and by Scripture, do those things. That's going to be very important for us to understand. And sandwiched in between all of that in verse 8 and verse 9, on either side of that, we have the peace of God. And so notice then in that context, in order to have the peace of God, in order not to be anxious, and we have a thankfully prayerful life in God. And in so doing, we can let our requests be made known unto God. Why? Because He is near. So we tolerate, let your moderation be made known to all men. We tolerate those things that are around us, not just accept those things. There are things that are much farther, that are way out of our control. And those things we can't do anything about. And so we come to verse 8 and we see the word finally. And we read it as for now. You can't control everything that's going on around you. But what you can control are these things. Meditate upon these things. Focus on these things. Let these things be the driving force of your character that is to now be in Christ as His child. That is our lesson, if you will, in its context. But we're reminded of several passages, such as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. And it's important then to think about certain things, to think certain ways, and to not let other things creep into our mind, because when they do, they take our focus off of what we're supposed to be focused on. And if you don't remember that, then go back a chapter. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Where's our focus? Pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're focused on heaven and heavenly things. The Colossian letter. And Paul writes to those at Colossae and he says, you need to be thinking on things above, not on things in the earth. You need to be focused on spiritual things, heavenly things, godly things. And so all of that is connected in this verse and in this passage and what God expects of us and what He wants for us in this life. You remember that Jesus says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. That's what He wants and expects of us. Matthew 12 and verse 35. And so when the mind is focused on such things, then the result is a pure heart, which brings forth good deeds. Good works. Good works in which we are to be zealous. Titus chapter 2 in verse 14. And so this morning, as we consider the things to which we are to obtain in our life, again, taking inventory, looking at this list, looking at those things that are virtuous and praiseworthy according to the list of those six things that are listed there, and in so doing, in a way that we might obtain them. That's what this verse is about. And so we come to this word noble. Whatsoever things are noble, the New King James says. The King James says honesty. Whatsoever things are honest. The American Standard, the ESV, and other translations use the word honorable. And that gives a good working broad definition, but let's see if we can narrow it down just a little bit. According to Vines, the word has to do, obviously, then that which is of honor or honorable, but also ties with it the idea of that which is grave or serious. Venerable is another word that is used. Webster defines it as deserving of respect or high regard, attesting to honorable conduct, consistent with a reputation that is not tarnished or sullied, characterized by integrity. There's another key word then for us. Integrity, honorable, grave, venerable, honest, noble. If there be anything virtuous, if there be anything worthy of praise, think on things which are honorable. Now, I will tell you that in studying this particular lesson, this series, I had not previously broken down each of these words in a study before, and so this was rather fascinating for me and hopefully beneficial to all of us as we study this together. The truest sense of nobility. Now, rather than what so many have maybe thought in the past, maybe going back to the times of kings and kingdoms and priests and dukes and earls and the nobles, right? We go back in time and start thinking about those. Why was it that they were of nobility? Well, because that which is higher up, in a sense, will influence that which is below it. And so it was supposed to be the case that those who were of nobility, those were people of integrity. And their example was before all, so that maybe the kingdom could see their example and follow suit. That's the way it was designed to be, especially in the monarchy type system. But in the truest sense of nobility, it's not just about rank and order and things like that. In fact, it really moves away from that and what it has to do with not eliteness, not royalty, not aristocracy, but simply being one who is honorable. One who is then, because of their conduct, worthy of honor. One who is honest. One whose life could be characterized as being dignified. Now, it also carries the idea of intellectual seriousness. Going back to that word grave, the idea of being serious. It has to do with intellectual seriousness. Notice what we have tied that to in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. I wonder why we began in this list with the word true. The things that consist of truth. By the way, truth is virtuous. Truth is worthy of praise. And therefore, when you begin to go and start connecting these ideas, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest or honorable or noble, whatever things are just. By the way, we'll talk about those things tonight in our lesson. Brother Tyler Cannon was going to be speaking tonight, but he is not feeling well. And so he asked me if I would go ahead and preach tonight. So you get the next word in our list tonight. That's where we'll be going. The idea then of intellectual seriousness. It is used of church leaders, specifically of elders and deacons in 1 Timothy 3, verse 8 and verse 11, also in Titus chapter 2 and verse 2. It is used of church leaders as that quality, dignity, which makes them worthy of respect. Now, all of that, let's start thinking about what's around us. Let's start with first what's going on around those at Philippi. They themselves are dealing with persecution. They themselves can look around and see the world as it is, as do we today. Look around and we can think that there is a lack of things honorable. There is a lacking of things honest and things that are worthy of honor, unfortunately, in this world. And that's not necessarily anything new. But the imaginations of men do not fail. They continue. And they continue to think up new things to maybe reinvent those evil things that are out there around us. Well, those people back in that same time were dealing with that. But let's think about some of those things. Just a couple of decades ago, some of you will remember a time when you never locked your front door of your house. Certainly never the back door, right? You just left your homes unlocked. Your car doors stayed unlocked. And that's why it didn't matter if we had automatic locking doors and things like that back then, right? It's nice to have now because that's the first thing that we do, right, when we get out. Make sure that door is locked. We like to hear that little beep with our little clicker, right, to know that it's locked. Children were able to play outside, outdoors, even off out into the woods behind my parents' home where I grew up. We had 10 acres to ourselves, but it was connected to probably 300 acres of nothing but woods around us, and the neighbors' kids, we all just hung out and we worked and played out in those woods, and we cut trails in those woods, and nobody thought anything different about it. You let your kids just run off into 300 acres of woods today? Probably not. Things are different. We not only lock everything, we have to worry about cybersecurity now, right? We have to worry about our cards and whether or not somebody can walk by me and scan my wallet and get my card information and use it or steal my identity, as it were, just online, right? Children's innocence is disrupted because they have to be taught about the dangers of strangers around them. That's good, that's smart. We need to do that. And we have to go to great lengths to protect our young people. Children are preyed upon in so many disturbing and evil ways that no one, not even children, but not just children rather, but no one seems to be safe today. The honest person has to contend with all kinds of scammers. Some of you probably heard about one of our brothers whose mom of 80 plus years was just scammed out of $8,000 just a couple of weeks ago. Family names were used in part of this grand scheme to get her to go to the bank and withdraw this cash so this person could come to her house and get the cash, which, of course, now they can't trace. Our society has embraced a picture of women today which is absolutely foreign to God's design and the demeanor for the crown of His creation. The feminist movement, abortion on demand, homosexuality, transgenderism, have perverted and even stolen the identity of men and women today. Childbearing and rearing and the rearing of children is just a burden on people today. Men have been belittled. Husbands are just seen as brainless oafs who don't even have enough sense to come in out of the rain. None of these actions and consequences of the evil agendas are in any way honorable, honest. They're not dealing with the realm of truth. They're not noble, not worthy of praise, nor are they excellent in any imagination. And don't think for a moment that some of that dishonesty has not slipped into the Lord's church. You have seen it, I have seen it. We know it to be the case. And this is not that particular lesson, but certainly elders, deacons, preachers, members, etc. have had their hands in things that are not honorable or commendable or of good report or even dealing with truth. And as much as the relationship with one another is concerned, because this was, remember, in its context, having to deal with how these brethren, he says in verse 2, Philippians 4, I implore Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And so as much as this is about their working together and our working together as the family of God here at Eastside, as the family of God, the household of God, in a broad sense in the world today, it is important for us to think about our character. Is it one of integrity? Is it one that is honest and honorable and noble? Christians are called to be honorable, worthy of reverence and respect. That's to characterize our lives. This is part of that context. Let's jump back a couple of chapters. Just notice a couple of things. Chapter 2. We have an example given, but before that example is given, that we focus on Christ in verse 5, he says, if there's any consolation in Christ, this is verse 1, Philippians 2, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection, any mercy, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest, he says, of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And therefore God has also highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven and those in the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Notice then, part of this letter is dealing with, again, the way that we're thinking, right? Let this mind be in you. Have the type of mind that's thinking about the betterment of others, thinking, esteeming others even better than ourselves. That's a hard pill to swallow for our society, but that's Christianity in a nutshell. Because we're putting the needs of others even before our own. Why? That we might win them with the gospel to the glory of God the Father. Because we follow the example of Jesus and what He did. Have the mind of Christ. He left the glories of heaven, became a man, and not as king on this earth, but no, as a servant, as a minister In Matthew 20, verse 28, he says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He is our example that we follow His steps, Peter says. And so we're to have the mind of Christ in that way. We continue on into chapter 3. Again, maintaining that focus point. I press, this is verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. Think this way, he says. And as we've studied previously, it is because what we take into our mind is what we are essentially going to either say or do, how we're going to act and react, and what's going to spill out of our mouths. And those things are important. Because those things that would spill out of our mouth, are they truth? Are they honorable? What about our actions and reactions to even those around us? Are they truth? Are they following truth? And are they honorable? That's what we have to ask ourselves as we read through this and we think about those things. And make that connection. Now then, so Christians are to be called to be honorable. We find it as number one part of that context. We find it in Peter's writing. He says, you are a chosen generation, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And both Apostles Peter and Paul, both in their writings, make the point that our lives will look different. Our lives have to change. And in Peter's writing specifically, he says in our relationships, and we studied this a little while back, in our relationships, one with another, with the world, with even our bosses or our employees, whatever the case may be, all of that, if we're Christians, it can make a difference. Just by having our conduct honorable in the sight of others. And the Apostle Paul makes the point then that we're not to be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've got to think differently. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Romans 12 and verse 2. And so that, verse 1, we may present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. We are to put off the old man and put on the new man. We take off those old actions, our old ways, they have to be put to death. Old King James says, mortify the deeds of the body, of that old man. Put them to death, literally. Put off the deeds of the old man. But you know, if I don't put something good in its place, something's going to fill that void, isn't it? So you put on then the deeds of the new man. What does that look like? Well, he's got to transform his mind and think on these type of things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. To add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness, patience, kindness, and brotherly love. All of those things are added then, as we call them, the Christian graces. But in Colossians 3, verse 8, Paul gets very specific. Put off these: anger, malice, wrath, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds, and you've put on the new man, which is renewed, watch this, in knowledge. It means something we've got to take into our mind. Think on these things with the intent to obtain them. We might, in a different way, just simply say, think on these things that we might apply them. So they would be seen as characteristic of our lives. Jump over to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 22. Ephesians 4, verse 22. Again, a list, things to put off, things to put on, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. He wants to do what he wants to do. That's an easy way to say that. And be renewed, he says, in the spirit of your mind. This is biblical meditation that we're talking about, renewing the mind. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness and holiness. Make a mark of that verse, because in tonight's lesson, when we talk about the word just, there is a connection right here in this passage. Verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. We are members one of another. Be angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands to that which is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. If we need a reminder as to why to do these things, Paul says it here. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. It doesn't stop there. Be imitators of God, chapter 5, verse 1, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. The fact that Christ gave his only, his life, the fact that God, the Father, gave his only begotten Son, those facts of the gospel, death, burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, those things which bring power for life, for salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16, that I have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent and turn away from the practice of my sin. Why? Because Christ is willing to forgive you. Christ went to the cross to forgive you, to make that possible. And therefore I confess him before men. That proclamation, not just a one time prior to my baptism, do I confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but no, I live my life daily so that the world knows that He is my Lord and that I am living for Him, and my life is not like it used to be. It is different because we have been called to live honorable lives in a world that promotes and upholds and even glorifies that which is dishonorable. And I'm baptized into Christ for a new relationship because I have followed the truth and our Lord's plan to save us. I followed His word. I have done those things which He has commanded. Being immersed in water for the remission of my sins, Acts 2:38. Washing away my sins, Acts 22, verse 16. For salvation, 1 Peter 3, verse 20 and 21. We do those things so that now we begin as new creatures, a new creation in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. and then begin to live this new life, renewing our minds, growing in His Word daily, and adding to our faith those virtuous characteristics of God Himself, that we live godly lives, Christ-like lives, so that the world knows to whom we belong. Whatever things are honorable, whatever things are noble, whatsoever things are honest. Are you living a life that is that? Characterized by those things? These things that we read here in Philippians 4 and verse 8? If not, then make the change. If it's of a public nature and we need to encourage you in some way, we'll pray for you. Lift your name before heaven. Let all know that you have repented of past sins and want to live a new life in Christ. If you've not taken those first steps to become His child, to have that new relationship, to be that new creation in Christ Jesus, we're going to give that opportunity. We're going to sing a song to encourage those who have a need. Please come to the front while we stand, while we sing.